thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Church, and indeed, thank you for the worship group for leading us this morning in that hymn. It has particular relevance to what I want to say just in a few minutes. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you could turn with me, it'll also come up on the screens here, to Psalm 40. Again, this is a well-known psalm, Psalm 40. And let's just commit this time to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we give you thanks again for your day. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one who has gathered in this morning. And Father, we pray you would close us in with yourself, Lord, that we would hear from your word today, the truth of your word, Lord, into our hearts. Holy Spirit, we give this time over to you, asking your blessing to be upon us. In your name we ask it. Amen. Psalm 40. Have you ever said yes to someone and then you think to yourself, why did I say that yes? And that was an experience I had a number of years ago. Mum and Dad were in Scotland on holiday, and Dad had phoned me up in the afternoon, and he says to me, John, I've double booked. He says, I've a wee meeting to take, and he'd overlooked the date, and basically he said to me, would you take the meeting? And of course, I said yes. And then whenever he set the phone down, you start to think, right, what am I going to do? But I went and took the wee meeting. It was just a wee mission hall, and that particular night, there was a male voice choir there, and spoke, and after the meeting, the gentleman asked me to go to the door and shake hands, and there was an elderly lady going out, and the way out, she shook my hand, and she says to me, son, you sung well. So I was never known for my singing, probably quite the opposite. But this morning, this is a psalm that is all about praise. It is about a song. And like, you know, as we gather as the people of God, we have sung many songs of all varying types throughout our lives. And you know, I was thinking of Heather being out in Africa and different cultures and different seasons of our lives. And I keep remembering the Sunday school songs. You know, they're always in my mind. But, you know, this morning I want to look at a song that is like no other. And this is a song that has no words. This is a song where the presence of God is a felt reality to affect the circumstances in David's life. And I trust this morning that it affects the circumstances in our life also. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and he established my steps. And he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Let's look at this psalm this morning. We see here that David waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. In the previous psalm of Psalm 37, we see there that David waited on the Lord, but there wasn't that immediate answer, and waiting is never easy. You know, in the home, Susan is a great leveler and a grinder. I don't say that in a negative way, but in a way that often brings much needed wisdom into our family. And she would often quote and say that waiting is never wasting in God's economy of time. You know, that's such a contrast to our world today where everything is instant. You know, we think in our foods and all those fast food outlets, and we always want those answers and results immediately. But here the answer is stated. David says that he inclined to me and he heard my cry. And the thought here is that I waited patiently, meaning I waited and I waited upon the Lord. He waited, yes, it was diligent, it was earnest, and it was patient until God would help him. And now in Psalm 40, we start to see the evidence of the waiting. He says, he inclined to me and he heard my cry. When David knew God heard his cry, he had this confidence in his God of an answer. And he says, he brought me up also out of this horrible pit, and he set my feet upon a rock. Yes, God had delivered him out of this present crisis that he was in, and he set him in a much better and secure place. He established his steps. David's prayer of deliverance was answered. This wasn't a pit. Notice it was a horrible pit. And I say to you this morning, what pit are you facing in your life today, over perhaps many years? It can be employment, family issues, financial issues, health issues. Do you feel inadequate? Are there struggles of doubt, anxiety, depression? And folks, that list is endless. But we need to go back to the beginning. The God who created the heavens and all that is within them is the God who is able to bring you out of that pit this morning. Never believe that God cannot lift you from where you find yourself this morning. Whatever was going on in David's life at this time, it gives a picture of where David was. It suggested that he was being hunted like a wild animal by Saul, who was desiring to kill him, and he ended up hiding in a cave. Perhaps it was when he sinned with Bathsheba and the consequences of those choices. Whatever had found David in this place, there was no way for him to get out of there without the mercy of God. And here we see a God who was inclined to David. He says he was hearing his cry. Notice this is a cry. It's not even a prayer. There were no words here, but this was a cry from his heart, a cry from deep within, which resulted in no more sinking into the situation that David had found himself and encircled him there, but where God intervenes. He brought me up also out of this horrible pit, out of the miry clay, where there was no way. God had made a way, and he set my feet upon that rock, and he established my steps. Where God took David out of this place and into where God had lifted him, it was God's doing. He went back to the beginning, to that cry, to his creator God, who would deliver him out of this pit. And folks, he put a new song in his mouth, praise to our God. We see the evidence of the waiting. His deliverance brought forth this spontaneous praise. It was a new song that came from God himself. Back in February, as a family, we traveled to New York. It was one of those things that would have on our bucket list, so to speak. And you know, we planned to see sights and the experiences there that we had, and probably one of the most memorable visits that we've had to date. But while we were there, we went to Times Square Church, and yes, I did hear that sermon in that morning. And you know what made me think, and made us all think about our lives, where we were challenged about our lives being lives of worship. And I say to us this morning, I say to myself, are we just singing, or are we worshiping? Say that again. Are we just singing, or are we worshiping? So this song isn't a song that David wrote. He'd written many songs. He was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel. Songwriting wasn't foreign to him, but not this one. Notice that this is a song that God put in him, where God will inspire those words of praise. When our worship becomes real, not just words that are on a screen, but worship from deep within that embodies our lives. When we realize how good and how right it is to praise our God, our Creator, you know, the one who has created us, for he has redeemed us, and we ought to praise our Redeemer. He's delivered us, and the one who has delivered us, we should recognize him as our deliverer. It is God who gives us the ability this morning, as Johnny was saying, about that breath in our bodies to praise him. It is he who gives us the ability to praise him. Remember who you are and remember who he is. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Again, this is the evidence of David's waiting patiently for the Lord. This deliverance and this praise came from an effective testimony of the others who seen what he had done. They were inspired to fear the Lord and ultimately to trust in him. Notice it doesn't say that many will hear. It says that they will see. This is a song of a different type of worship that doesn't need words to honor God for what he has done for us. In our daily lives, we don't sing songs when we are in our workplaces, so to speak, when we're in the shops, when you're in the doctor's surgery, or within our families or even our neighborhoods. But in all those situations, our lives must be lives of worship. The reason we sung that song this morning, Charles Wesley was suffering from pleurisy in 1738, and he was plagued with extreme doubts of his faith. While lying unwell, a group of believers had visited him. He was deeply affected by this, and he read from his Bible, and he found himself deeply affected by the words and came to peace with God. Shortly after this, his strength returned, and he wrote of this experience, and he counted it as a renewal of his faith. And he penned those words, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing." When I was pondering a few thoughts here, it came to my mind. I remember being in the Ulster Hall with Jim's Margaret. Margaret, it could have been 40 plus years ago. I remember Mum took me, and Alec T was leading that service. And at the start of the service, they sung that hymn. And once they sung it, I remember him as well. He got up and he stood and he led it. And there was such a beautiful anointing came on the service, encouraging the people that all that was within them to give thanks unto the Lord for that desire to have 1,000 tongues to sing our great Redeemer's praise. In Psalm 92, it's recorded, "It is good to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto his name, O Most High, to show forth your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." You know, when we have songs of testimony and victory in our lives, it is important and it is right to sing and to tell what God has done for us. How often do we declare our victories? Think of sporting fans. We think of countries who sing anthems of victories. But what about us? What about the redeemed of the Lord? Have we not, as the children of the Lord, got a right to shout and sing? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let everything that has breath, as we heard already this morning, everything that has breath from Psalm 150, it's a call for us and our lives to give praise and worship to God. I say again, are our lives just singing or are we worshiping? But there is another song, a new song, a deeper song that we've ever sung before. And this is the song that David referred to, a song that is seen and not heard. It's a song that causes us and those around us to observe the works of God in our lives. And what a privilege we have. What a huge responsibility this is to live in this way. No longer was David sinking round about him and underneath where there was everlasting arms. His steps were now established. God had given him a future. There was a purpose. There was a direction in his life. And in the storms of life, God is the one who can bring that calm and yet again establish our steps. And because we have this promise-keeping God, the God who never fails us, the God who never will forsake us, the God who will always honor his word, we can identify with David as we look back and stand secure on the truth of his promises. This was God's doing. He had put a new song into David's mouth. This was a song of praise. This was a song of confidence in God that came to him. It is our well-being that becomes affected. Our whole bodies become this worship song. In Acts 4 and 13, when Peter and John were addressing the religious leadership of the day, the Sanhedrin, you know, those men perceived that they were uneducated. They were common men, but they were astonished at what they said. And here's the key. They had recognized that they had been with Jesus. May our worlds around us, people of God, recognize that we have been with Jesus. As the evidence of this worship song for us this morning, it is Christ, the hope of glory within us. And you know, the reality of it is, can we say on a Wednesday, instead of being gathered here amongst God's people on a Sunday, where we don't need worship or the atmosphere of worship or the programs of worship, but it's God in our everyday lives that would display that worship in our workplaces, in our families, wherever we would be. It is a song of confidence. It's a song of trust in God that is not dependent upon our circumstances. And is your worship so deep that words are not necessary? Where we read in Romans 8 and 38, that I am persuaded, Paul's writing, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present or things to come, nor the height, nor the depth, nor any other created thing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I tell you, read and reread those scriptures about the love of God in our lives. Let that love impact us for his honor and for his glory. I say again, in spite of the circumstances or the situation of your life, we have a confidence in our God. Deuteronomy 31 and 8, we read there, it is the Lord who goes before you. He is the God who will be with you. He will not leave or forsake you. Do not fear or do not be dismayed. Second point this morning, a well encounter. There's a generation of people here today, and you perhaps will identify what I say as I introduce this point. There was a time when there was no piped water in the province. We hadn't the luxury of turning on a tap or... And there's a generation here who probably can remember being reared on well water, and where you had to go out and pump and get the water from the well. And you're probably thinking here this morning how good and refreshing well water is. And there's a story in Genesis 26 where Isaac found himself displaced due to famine, and he was relocated to this place called Gerar. But it was there that God appeared to him and he said, dwell in the land, I will be with you, I will bless you, for you and all your descendants, I will give you these lands. I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants to multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give you your descendants all these lands, and your seed and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because your father Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And so it was that Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the Lord blessed him. And in verse 13 of Genesis 26, we read, the man began to prosper, and he continued prospering until he became very prosperous, so much that those Philistines, they envied him. And such was that envy that they seen the increase of his crop. When he sowed and he reaped, and that year he reaped a hundredfold. What a bountiful harvest. He had possessions of flocks, herds, and a great number of servants. But that envy of the Philistines was such that the Philistine enemy came to the king of that region, Abimelech, and he asked Isaac to move on. He said to Isaac, go away from us. You're much mightier than we are. Isaac departed, and he dwelt in the valley of Gerar. There's not one of us today cannot survive without water. Water is essential for survival. And in this valley, Isaac, it was there that he started to unplug and unclog the wells that his father Abraham had dug many years before. Wells that had been clogged by the Philistine enemy. And I say to us this morning, thinking of worship, what is clogging our wells of worship to God? What is it that's in our heart that withholds that worship within us? You know, when was the last time that our worship to God burnt deep within our soul, where you felt compelled to worship God, that there is something inside so strong? What about those power battles, those blockages that need cleaned and unblocked to allow that true worship to our God to flow from us, His people, as clean, empty vessels, only desiring to be filled by God? We read that Isaac's servants dug in the valley and they found this well of water there. But again, verse 20 and verse 21, the herdsmen of Gera, they quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, so they called the name of that well Esek. They dug another well, and again, they quarreled again, and they called the name of that one Sitnah. These were wells of dispute. These were wells where there was opposition, and the enemy was claiming that water was theirs. But we read this significant line, that he went a little further. Isaac moved on from there. This is so significant. This is a God moment. When you consider what this involved, you know, he was being asked to move on. He dug these wells. The enemy was saying that water was theirs. He had to move on. He didn't have water, tap water. There wasn't water in abundance, but so was his confidence in God, that no matter what the enemy would try to do to him, to lay claim to what the water that he had, he was dependent on God. And I say to you, church, this morning, have confidence in your God, that no matter what the enemy would try to lay claim in your life, yet I encourage you this morning to move on in the kingdom of God. At his word, depend what God has for you. And he moved on in verse 22, and the Bible says that he dug another well. He called its name Rehoboth, because it said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, we shall be fruitful in the land." I encourage you this morning in worship, move on in your God. Let nothing clog your well of worship. Clogged wells are dirty wells. They harbor and spread disease. They are not fit for purpose. But well water is physically refreshing. It is thirst quenching. And spiritually speaking, we need to come to that well again, that well that shall never run dry. I recall Pastor Dempster's words of encouragement when he often referred to someone in the service having a key to unlock the service into a realm of spirit-filled worship. And I believe that it's true today. There is someone here this morning and you have that key. Have we not 10,000 reasons for our hearts to sing, to come and bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, to bless his holy name? And like me, I'm sure it's no different for you. There's many times there can be those 101 thoughts, you know, racing through your minds. You know, it can be difficult to disengage from all that we've been at all week that surrounds our daily lives. Not all distractions are necessarily bad, but if they mean we lose sight of God because of whatever takes his place, I encourage you this morning, lay it down. Let the enemy have no influence in your life. I'm encouraging this morning to dig and redig again and reopen that well, Rehoboth. It signifies a place of expansion, a place of freedom, and a place of God's provision. A place to expand our worship, a place to worship in freedom and the beauty of his holiness, a place to worship God for his provision, his blessing in our lives. Don't be paralyzed by the past, but draw upon the rich and refreshing spiritual heritage of well worship. Recently at Jean White's funeral service, Rhonda had made mention of visiting Jean in those latter stages of life. And while Jean was unclear in her mind and not knowing who she was, she'd asked that question, "Who am I?" And Rhonda had replied, he says, "You are a daughter of the king. And with that, she lifted her arms and worshipped. Lifted her arms and worship. And I'm encouraging you, church, this morning, there is a depth of worship to move into. Not all worship has lyrics or music. Real worship is within our hearts and souls, where we worship the only one who is duly worthy of our praise. I recall, also came to my mind, Mrs. Gage, an elderly lady in the assembly, whilst physically unable to stand, but can remember seeing her arms lifted in worship. Lives that worship God where there are no words. Recently I was given this word of encouragement by a godly friend. It's an African word, and it's pronounced, if I'm getting this right, fastbite, which simply means hold fast. Wherever you are this morning, I'm encouraging you in worship to hold fast. Let me remind you again this morning that God has you and is encouraging you. It's encouraging us as the body of Christ to come and worship him in the beauty of his holiness. No matter how unsteady, shaky, or unpredictable our circumstances are, lay hold of this thought that he will hold you fast. You know, Susan often reminds me that we either trust God in everything or not at all. And God's hand has been tried. God's hand has been tested. And God's hand is proven true. Be confident in your God. Hold fast. Trust in the promise of his word and feed on his faithfulness. Again, I say to you this morning, take time to write down how God has been faithful in your life. If you keep a journal, go back over it, you know, to see God's steadfast hand on your life. But this morning, let God put this new song into your mouth. A well water. And I finish with this morning, a well invitation. In John chapter 7, we read of Jesus being at the Feast of Tabernacles. And this was a joyful week-long celebration. It was in September to October time when families camped out in temporary shelters to remember God's faithfulness to Israel in the wilderness on the way from Egypt to Canaan. But it was at this time that Jesus encountered conflict, and with the religious leaders and his family, so much that the Jews had sought to kill him. And we read that he made his way secretly up to the temple to teach. And within this chapter, we see there was many reactions to Jesus at this time. But if we can focus our attention in John 7 and 37 to this well invitation this morning. It was on the last day, that great day of the feast, that Jesus stood and he cried out saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come on to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, that out of his heart, out of his innermost being, would flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, with those whom believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." It was on the last day, that great day of that feast celebration, the Feast of Tabernacles that lasted. It was 8 days of feasting and coming together in celebration. And it was here that, as part of that celebration, that water was taken from the Pool of Siloam, carried out in a golden pitcher and poured onto the altar to remind everyone how God miraculously had provided for thirsty Israel in the wilderness. But it was on the last day of this feast, this celebration, this was the last time that Jesus would speak to many before his crucifixion, when he stood and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come on to me and drink." And Jesus boldly called people to himself to drink, to satisfy their deepest thirst, their spiritual thirst. And the invitation is no different than what it is to us here this morning. If anyone, where every thirsty one is made welcome, if anyone thirsts, we must see our need. Thirst is a lack of something. It's an emptiness, and it's a crying need. And is that your situation today? When David wrote, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you, O God." It was out of that despair, out of that loneliness, out of that desolation and anguish of his heart that he turned to his God that he'd known to be full of loving kindness, the God who was and is his rock, his help. And he longs once again to know that manifold and manifest presence of God in his life, ministering to his life within, putting that new song into his mouth. And the circumstances of our lives, no matter how hard, God has us a song. And he said, whoever believes in me, to come to Jesus and to drink, essentially to put our faith, our trust into him, to rely on him, to his confidence again that he will hold you fast, that out of his heart will flow these rivers of living water. For the one who does believe in Jesus, he's offered this river of living water from our innermost being, that our lives would be this continuous worship song where the presence of God is that felt reality in our lives to affect our circumstances, that those around us would see and know, would trust and fear in the Lord. He and he alone is the one who can satisfy this thirst, this longing. And moreover, we need to receive, when we receive this satisfaction from him, it is then that we become these channels of blessing where these overflowing rivers would pass through us as clean vessels of refreshing. And this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. And when we would experience this outflowing life, this abundance that comes in and through the presence of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, here is the evidence that many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. O God, in these moments, as we come to think on what he has done personally for us in our lives, draw from our hearts the worship that is truly due your worthy name, to declare again, church, that we love him because he first loved us. When we lift our voices in honor of his work in our lives, yes, in all our faults and all our failures and guilt of sins, God knows our weakness. He provided the only way for us to live this life of abundance in him through his death and resurrection, which we will come in a few moments to focus on. We can have this forgiveness of sins and experience the joy and that freedom of well worship. Yes, we continually need to come to the foot of the cross over and over again for forgiveness, but we praise him this morning that we have this belonging as the children of the living God, whom he loves, whom he wants us to live in the joy that only comes from him. You know, something that comes from him, it cannot be taken away, like that song that he puts within us. It's unlike happiness, what is an emotion, but joy, people of God, it is a possession that we have through salvation. Therefore, our lives should be lives of worship, not just a song. I'm asking the group to come up again and lead us this morning in our worship songs as we continue to focus again and think on our worship to our God. And as they do, I encourage you this morning in these moments, not just to sing, but to worship. Not to sing in that sense, but to worship the one true and living God with our hearts full of praise to him. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to to his word to our hearts this morning. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.